It's incredible what Irish Nation is going on at Tooth.
Another song I like to make, I never had a chance to make that man. This song is about my civil rights guys. They're not abiding by the Constitution anymore. A founding fathers never wrote anything in the Constitution. You think they would be supporting this? You think they'd be supporting abortion? No way. You know our founding fathers. You know, I know you're well-educated and studied. You know their thoughts, their hearts when they wrote the Constitution. You know what kind of people they were. The Constitution is being totally ignored.
Well,
think about it. Think about all the laws that have come about from the Civil Rights Act. All the unconstitutional laws. They're just ignoring the Constitution. Even, private citizens' rights are being denied. The song at a pizza place, they don't want to sell pizza to a gay marriage exception. Under the Constitution, they wouldn't have to. If someone doesn't want to rent to somebody under the Constitution, they don't have to. But civil rights, going by. Think about it. Think about all the laws they got on that, even laws and everything else. And that's all I got to say about that. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. All right, obviously a very emotional Tom there. Okay, let me just kind of sum this up, and you won't be probably surprised where I go with this, but I'd like your feedback on it. I thought about the natural law, and that's something that a guest, Bev Courtney, and I had talked about, and now I think you see maybe understand a little bit better the reason that I went in the direction that I did when I was talking to her about the natural law. It's bigger than just the Bible, but it is an extraordinarily important and influential idea in the history of the West. As a matter of fact, you could say that the West is an expression of natural law as understood by the people who put it together. Now, natural law, and then the judgment of God. I haven't heard a lot about this, but the question comes to mind is there's a 70% of the people in this country that are Christians. What percentage of those Christians believe we are now under the judgment of God? And if so, what is that going to look like? And then in the dissent, some people are calling it a treason because, even Judge Roberts, who gave a very crazy analysis to save Obamacare that was really went way beyond the law, the text of the law. Even Roberts said the majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. Let's just say, I don't hear anybody saying this, but I know that it's possible. Would there ever be any movement, any thought from the people that are outraged who feel like this is a destruction of the Supreme Court, that they've embarrassed themselves, that they've gone way beyond their bounds of impeaching the justices or some of the justices? Now, believe it or not, it's not just politicians, who get impeached, senators and House members. Historically, there have been impeachments of judges as well. And there was a guy from Florida, I think it's Alcee Hastings, was impeached, and then he got elected to the House of Representatives. But anyway, throwing those things out, I've got some more analysis when we come back, of course, but I'm absolutely fascinated by this decision. It is an extraordinary decision, and it is one that no matter where you look, it's absolutely new law. It is a stunning support of sexual freedom, and so the question in my mind was also what comes next: polygamy. How do you get rid of polygamy if gay people can marry, which totally alters our traditional understanding of marriage? How do you get rid of polygamy, stuff like that? Anyway, it is 6:20. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, and the number to call in 523-1450. And by the way, I saw True Detective, the second installment last night, and it was unbelievable. And I would hardly recommend you going to HBO and watching that thing. If you haven't seen it, the first season is absolutely incredible. And this next one with Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn is really taking off. It's 6:20. We'll be right back with more on gay marriage. It is 6:24, and you know, I've just kind of picking through this decision, and I've got the text of the decision and everything. But I had this image in my mind of Moses being sent back up Mount Sinai with 10 new commandments for God, and you know, so here is one thing that I'd like to ask you. Out of all of the people out there, and I think if you imagine if this happened 10 or 20 years ago, let's just say that somehow they got the court to vote on this and support it decades ago, there would have been an absolute firestorm. But I think people have become inured or immune to the topic to a certain extent. The sexual revolution basically put into motion a number of things, and now we see here 50 years later that really the family is kind of in pieces, and people are now making decisions as individuals, and one of them is the homosexual movement, which has gained steam, and you know, the upshot is that It is a different definition of marriage. If you can call gay marriage marriage, but it's a union that cannot naturally produce children. That put me on to the thinking of the natural law. Now, I wanted to do a show on this because Bev Courtney, who's involved with the Tea Party and the Gun Club, had brought it up, and she said, you know, natural laws, God is basically, the way she was talking about it was the law of God. Now, just briefly, and I've got, I don't know how many books I've got, 20, 30 books on natural law. And yet I still find, you know, you go back and you read it, you pick up new stuff. It's got kind of a fascinating history. Natural law gives birth to natural rights, which give birth to basically the Constitution, those two things together, and the Bill of Rights. And we're not living in a natural law age, but the Constitution is a natural law document. It is a claim that there is a law above the law. Now, the natural laws on one side, positive laws on the other. Positive law is law that is the decision of the legislature or the king, whatever, the tyrant or whatever you want to say. But natural law, the history of natural law, go back to Aristotle and Plato, and then the Stoics. This is the Greek. The Stoics give birth to this kind of take what Plato and Aristotle have written and put their spin on it. And then Cicero is kind of the highlight of natural law from the Roman side. So you've got the idea in Cicero of law is law that is applied to right reason that is applied to law. And there's this idea that there's this law out there. Now, the church takes this idea and works it through several philosophers, Augustine, Aquinas, Locke, etc. All right, so what you've got in the natural law is this Greek philosophical theories of the law. Then you've got the church, these church philosophers, and then you've got kind of this development in the modern era. But in the natural law is the idea of revealed law, so like the Ten Commandments, but you've also got the application of logic. And so these ideas were taken and put in deep in the past in England, and there was the development of the common law, which is indistinguishable from natural law for a number of centuries. Now, today we have passed through the natural law period. We're now in the period of positive law, or just think of that as law made by legislature that is not necessarily tied to anything else. So when the dissent gets up and says what Justice Roberts said, which was the majority's decision is an act of will, not legal judgment. It's a powerful statement. Now, Judge Roberts himself should know about Obamacare was not tied to legal judgment or the Constitution. It was extra constitutional. It was an act of public policy. I think most people who have read that or heard about it understand that. But this decision causes us to ask, what is marriage? And can we change the definition, the traditional definition? But what are the consequences legally, morally, socially, and religiously, divinely, or whatever? So, are we under the judgment of God from this, for this? And what does that mean? What does it look like? Now, I've got a little clip here from Franklin Graham, who's saying that Christians should prepare for persecution after gay marriage ruling. From Fox News. All right, so anyway, you know where this is headed going. I think that what if you were to look at it not as from a Christian perspective of look what the court has done to us and look at the damage and the just incredible position that the court has put us in. What if you were to look at it from the angle of this is the judgment of God for where we're at as a country? I mean, that you could look at it totally different, that you could claim that the gay people are as much of a victim of this as anybody else, and that it's really hypocritical to now start talking about sin when this country is so far off the reservation Christianity. I think you could argue we're no longer a Christian nation. If we pass a law like this, it is a sign that we're no longer a Christian nation. And obviously, atheism and agnosticism has become very powerful in the last couple of years. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450 to call in, and we will be right back. Clip that said the newscast, the local newscast, was empty. It was before it was going to play. No, it was in the break before. I don't know because I it was red with the X. Yeah, I just removed. Do you want to send it right now and I'll play it?
Well, I understand. All right. Right. Thank you very much.
So there you have it. It's the law of the land. It's gay marriage. Now, I got a lot of questions for you. One of which is, how does this change the law in general? For example, a minister based on religious belief does not think that two people of the same sex should get married. He refuses to do a gay marriage. Is he gets sued? Now, here's another part of that. It's one thing for an individual to come up and say, or two individuals to come up and say to a minister, I want you to marry me and my boyfriend, me and my girlfriend. Should that minister be sued if these people are not in that church, if they're not attending that church? I mean, should you be able to just randomly pick people out of a crowd, out of the phone book, this church or that church, demand that they marry you, and if the minister doesn't, then sue him, sue the church. Should they, ministers, be allowed to be sued at all? Now, this, I think, goes to show you that the years ago when the gay movement was just saying along the lines of, do we just want to be left alone? That is not the nature of life. That when there is momentum and a direction that things are heading, there tends to be, the law follows, and then as people get power, they tend to exert it. So here's a few headlines for you. Crisis has reached the point where banks are now going to be shut for 6 days, and I have some friends who are flying to Greece today, and it's extraordinary. ATM withdrawals limited to 60 euros a day. As referendum looms, many in the country hoard groceries and gas. Now, did you know, this has not really been put out there, I'll just kind of mention it for you. There is this guy that is now the head of, I got to read this. I was so amazed when I read this, I couldn't believe it. And this is how the media filters everything for you so that you can't really draw your own conclusions. We know that there's a crisis in Greece. We know that there is an opposition between Greece and the EU. We don't really understand what caused it because that's not really explained in the news cycle. But there is the inherent and inevitable screening and filtering of information so that we cannot draw any kind of a general conclusion other than the fact that Greece is in trouble and the EU is and has been in trouble and the EU is running out of patience. Now, here, let me just read an article from George Will, What If Greece Leaves the European Union? In January, Greek voters gave power to the left-wing Syriza party, one-third of which The Economist reports consists of Maoists, or followers of Chairman Mao, Chinese communist leader, Marxists, and supporters of Che Guevara. Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras, 40, a retired student radical, immediately denounced a European Union declaration criticizing Russia's dismemberment of Ukraine. He chose only one cabinet member with prior government experience, a former leader of Greece's Stalinist Communist Party. Cyprus's Minister for Culture and Education says Greek education should not be governed by the principle of excellence. It is a warped ambition. Practicing what he preaches, he proposes abolishing university entrance exams. Okay, so anyway, the guy that was elected during Greece's worst crisis is a complete, not just a leftist, but a socialist Marxist. And now you can see why he's raging against the banks or the European Union, against the Germans. And he did this very ill-advised, basically just he stood up to these people and he called them names. He said, we're not going to be pushed around. We don't accept your values. You have no right to ask us for this or that. So anyway, in response, the people who he needed the goodwill from have basically starting to turn or have turned their backs on Greece, undoubtedly antagonized by this guy, and now he's begging. So be careful what you wish for. All right, so getting back to the gay marriage thing. I was looking into natural law over the weekend, and I was kind of thinking about it. So the natural law, in the natural law, you couldn't say that gay marriage was marriage. Why? Well, in the natural law, and this will cause some people to support it and other people to maybe despise it, you have the Bible in the natural law as part of it. Now, according to some people who've come on the show, the natural law is the Bible. No, it's not. There is a big slice of Greek paganism, ironically enough. The Greeks who supported and had established homosexuality between men and boys, but not marriage. And the Romans never accepted the marriage, although homosexuality was rampant in Rome towards the second half, towards the end of the empire. But you couldn't have had the definition of marriage. You couldn't have had the definition of marriage, including homosexuality, because it wouldn't have fit into the natural law. And the reason for that is because the natural law had the Bible in it. Now, without getting into a debate over the separation of church and state, let me just throw something out to you before I go on break, which is this. And this is something that I came to grips with when I was writing articles about communism and such, and kind of looking into the history of communism and some of the leadership there. When you look into communism, there is no, what I was telling you earlier, jurisprudence. There is no philosophy of law. There's no philosophy of law because there is no ethics or morality that are consistent in communism. Anything that helps the state achieve its goals is acceptable in communism, including killing hundreds of millions of people, as we've seen historically. But I came to grips with this fact that, like it or not, the communism, leftism, socialism, all of this stuff is lacking in one thing that is found on the right, or found in the conservative movement, which is this idea of a Ten Commandments, which is a symbol of a law beyond the law. And we played it out in the history of America with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. There is a law beyond the law from the conservative viewpoint. In the left, there is no law above the law. The public policy is the thing that pragmatically helps get to goals, no matter what course that takes. So my point is that whether you're religious or not, or whether there's a God or not, just for the sake of this particular argument, is not really even relevant. The issue is, in one theory of government, in one theory of public policy, in one theory of law, unbreakable rules. That's from the conservative movement. And on the left, you do not have that. So anything can happen. All right. So anyway, let's go to break here, and we'll be right back. And for the second hour, I have Dr. Leventino here to talk about hormones. But we'll finish up here with the gay marriage analysis. Be right back. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. This is Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and it's 647. What's up, man? Kelly here, and all right, so I'm going to read you a few quotes here from, we know that obviously the liberals on the court won, and I just want to ask you again to consider what I was thinking about when I, you know, I was putting the show together this morning. What is marriage? Or last night, can mankind change the definition of marriage, or is there a definition of marriage? If there's not, it's not really relevant what the court did. If there is a definition of marriage, obviously there is, can mankind, womankind change that definition? What are the consequences legally, morally, socially, divinely? And I was thinking one thing is that there's been this, and then I used to live in Utah. There was a huge battle between the state and these polygamous compounds and movements over there. Warren Jeffs was one of these people. Polygamy was a way of life over there. When you're living in a polygamous family or a polygamous community, it is just natural for the uncles to seduce the nieces and that type of thing. Not necessarily that the father would marry the daughter. But after a number of years and a bruising fight to get a hold of the polygamy battle, now I think there's going to be a recognition of polygamy. There has to be at some point. And then you will, all of that work and all of the protection, the legal protection that's put out there against polygamy and the way that polygamy has a tendency to recruit amongst its own family and the incest and everything is going to be pushed away. Now, here is some of the dissent opinions from the Obergefell. That's the name, one of the names in the lawsuit that's going to be known as Obergefell. This court is not a legislature. Whether same-sex marriage is a good idea should be of no concern to us. Under the Constitution, judges have power to say what the law is, not what it should be. The people who ratified the Constitution authorized courts to exercise, quote, neither force nor will, but merely judgment. All right, here's another quote. Nowhere is the majority's extravagant conception of judicial supremacy more evident than in its description and dismissal of the public debate regarding same-sex marriage. Yes, the majority concedes on one side there are thousands of years of human history in every society known to have populated the planet. But on the other side, there has been extensive litigation, many thoughtful district court decisions, countless studies, papers, books, and other popular scholarly writings, and more than 100 amicus briefs on these cases alone. What would be the point of allowing the democratic process to go on? It is high time for the court to decide the meaning of marriage based on five lawyers' better informed understanding of a liberty that remains urgent in our own era. The answer is surely there in one of those amicus briefs or studies. Here's the issue. The way that the court dealt with this took it out of the democratic process, the Republican process, and decided it in such a way is it almost exactly the same as abortion, because of abortion not being dealt with from the state level, we still have this basically this kind of detente or this war going on 50 years later. And as time goes by, less and less people support abortion. And the fact of the matter is, if you let the democratic process deal with it, then there would be some peace in the society over it. Now we've got another call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
This is David. Hi, yeah, Kelly. How are you?
Good, David. Good morning. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Hey, I guess now sodomy is now legalized marriage.
Yes.
And so why are all the leftists and the liberals so are they going to back off their stance now at the Catholic Church?
No.
They should. They should be more forgiving.
No, I mean, that's my opinion, but the Catholic Church has been the Catholic Church has its own issues, but do you see this, David, as ever being turned around, say, another DOMA, Defense of Marriage, Traditional Marriage Act? Do you ever see that being turned around?
In what way? And you mean that we
DOMA,
can repeal
David,
this or
David,
stop
David,
it?
David, hold on a second. We're running out of time. DOMA was the Defense of Marriage Act that was created under President Clinton, and it was the states passed a defense against gay marriage, and basically they define marriage as between a man and a woman. Do you see that people in the states going back and making them put another amendment on the Constitution to get rid of gay marriage?
I think at some point something's going to have to happen, especially when, like you brought up earlier, that they start suing churches and start suing pastors and fathers and priests because they won't marry them.
Well, that has to happen because this law has to have teeth in it.
I totally agree with you. And hopefully the sooner the better, but it's not going to happen anytime in the next 18 to 20 months.
Do you see the judgment of God coming down because of this?
Absolutely.
What will it look like?
You know, I just think that, I think the judgment of God has come down on other civilizations, and basically just what happens to them is they start unraveling at the seams, and then they just end up falling apart, becoming extinct.
Interesting. Okay, David, thanks for the call. Folks, I got a little clip here from a guy who would agree with David, and this guy's British, but check this out, what he says. USA Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage calling for God's judgment. All right, so let me ask you this. What percentage of pastors, if put to the test, will marry gay people? I'm interested in that. Will there be judgment, in your opinion? And if so, what will it look like? And when will it come? Very interesting questions. Anyway, we are going to switch off gay marriage and talk to Dr. Leventino in just a minute and hormones. Maybe there's a connection, maybe there's not. But anyway, thanks for tuning in to the first hour. Of course, we're talking gay marriage, and we're going to take a break on the hour. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned in because hormones are the next big thing out in this society after gay marriage, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is the theme from True Detective. It was written for the show. It's beautiful. Stunning writing. Is it the little short guy?
still trying to diagnose me during the show. How old are you? Look good. They would own a chunk of America at its prime. It would be, they would have wealth within a country that was greatly diminished, like you say, it's happening. What drives these people, though? What drives a person who has got to attend a place like America? But the replacement of America is just hunger, right? I mean, the replacement of America, that didn't just mind its own business and try to really focus on survival, right? So, I mean, the problem with somebody like
good morning. It's 7:06, and we're switching gears here from a gay marriage to talk to Dr. Tony Leventino. And good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Dr. Leventino is giving a speech tonight on hormones and asked if he could come on and just give a little preview. So what are we dealing here with? Give folks just a little bit of your background, where you grew, where you're from, where you went to school, how you got involved in hormones.
I'm an obstetrician gynecologist. I have been for over 35 years now, and moved from upstate New York 13 years ago to beautiful Las Cruces, and it was the best move I ever made. During my career, I've done both private practice and academic medicine, and currently have a private practice in Las Cruces. So I've been dealing with hormones for the last 35 years of my career, and specifically with bioidentical hormones for over 10 years.
What's that? What's a bioidentical hormone?
Well, you know, there is a tremendous amount of confusion about hormone therapy. As I always tell my patients, everybody knows, absolutely knows, that hormones are bad. And they know that because the internet tells them so, and everything on the internet is true. And then I remind them of that that TV ad about the young lady who got the French boyfriend from the internet. And then when she introduces him, he says bonjour and doesn't even pronounce it properly. The problem with hormone therapy is just that. There's an absolute panic over it because of a study that came out 20 years ago called the WHI. And women in particular are absolutely terrified of hormone therapy because they believe it will kill them or cause blood clots or heart disease. Now, the reality is that there are complications involved with synthetic hormone therapy, but the numbers are very small. On the other hand, there is a safer alternative, which is bioidentical hormones. Bioidentical hormones is estrogen and testosterone that the body makes. That's why it's bioidentical. And as I tell my patients, when you use the bioidentical hormones, you don't run the same risk that you run with synthetic hormone therapy.
So where do bioidentical hormones come from?
Bioidentical hormones that we use in this type of therapy has a plant source, and it's synthesized. And what comes out of the lab is pure estrogen and pure human estrogen and pure human testosterone in pellet form.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so who is a prime candidate for hormone replacement therapy?
The prime candidates for hormone replacement therapy are both men and women, which surprises people because we don't think too much about men with hormone therapy. So I tell my patients the word menopause has been taken, so now we have to revert to the term manopause. The fact of the matter is that women become, and everyone knows, women become hormone deficient typically around the age of 50, seriously hormone deficient at the age of 50, to the point where they're getting sometimes debilitating symptoms. But men have the same problem. The process is more gradual and spread out over time, but men have very much the same problem in terms of testosterone production. Men start losing their testosterone levels around in their late 20s. Women start losing their testosterone, and people are surprised when they hear that women have testosterone too. And the same way men have estrogen. It's just a matter of balancing those hormone levels in their late 20s. So for women, the litany of symptoms is pretty well known. Hot flashes, night sweats, vaginal dryness. Those are the ones that traditional medicine always talks about and acts as if those are the only symptoms that are important. They leave out is irritability, fatigue, poor sleeping, no sex drive, and a lot of other symptoms, joint pains that go along with a lack of not just estrogen, but testosterone as well. With men, lack of testosterone causes decreased libido, decreased sexual performance, poor sleeping, fatigue, irritability. Many of the same symptoms overlap. And this therapy is intended to treat both.
So this treatment is, you say it's, there was the study that came out and people were scared. What has happened since that study came out that leads you to believe it's a safe therapy?
Bioidentical hormone replacement therapy has been around forever. In fact, it really was almost the norm until 1947 when Premarin came out. Pellet therapy has been around for 80 years. It just hasn't been very popular in this country. It's coming back with a vengeance. And actually, look at Suzanne Summers. She's been beating this drum now for over 20 years. And there are more and more companies that are now coming out promoting bioidentical or natural hormone therapy as a replacement. There are hundreds of papers out there on the safety and efficacy of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. As part of getting certified to do this type of treatment, I took a two-day course, and it was simply presentation of paper after paper after paper on the safety and efficacy of bioidentical hormone replacement therapy.
All right, so why should anybody care about hormone replacement therapy?
Well, maybe you're tired. Maybe you're irritable. Maybe you don't sleep through the night. Maybe you're cold all the time. Maybe your sexual performance isn't what you would like it to be. Maybe your libido or sexual desire isn't what you would want it to be. There are dozens of reasons. I mean, I would tell people, I'd offer myself as an example. I have low T. Makes me laugh. They can't say testosterone. But, of course, the joke is almost every guy in his 50s and 60s has low testosterone levels. They just never get them checked. As a physician, I knew what my testosterone level was, and it was abysmal. I treated myself with a bioidentical cream. Now, bioidentical creams have also been out there for a long time and did that for years. And like a lot of my patients, I did okay. But if you really pin me down, my energy level wasn't good. I hadn't slept through the night in years. I'm only 62 and I don't have arthritis, but every time I got out of a chair, I'd make my little old man grunt sounds because my joints hurt. And I hadn't slept through the night in 30 years. Now, being an obstetrician didn't help much, but on the other hand, I stopped delivering babies almost 10 years ago and I still wasn't sleeping through the night. I heard about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy from a physician in Albuquerque who brought it to New Mexico, took the course. And as part of the course, you can get pellet therapy yourself.
What's
so
a pellet?
It's just that. It's a small pellet of medication about the size of a grain of rice, a little bigger for men, and they're placed in this under the skin in the hip area. It's a really very simple procedure. As part of the course, you can get pellets if you qualify, and I brought in my blood tests, and boy, oh boy, did I qualify. And, you know, also, I'll add in one other symptom I had. I was cold all the time. I have low thyroid, and I was on synthetic thyroid medication and for years, and my numbers are absolutely perfect. But every time I walked into an air-conditioned building or a theater or a restaurant, I'd freeze. I'm walking around in downtown Las Cruces in the summertime with sweaters just in case I walk inside someplace. Sounding familiar? And I got my pellets. I didn't feel a thing for the first 2 weeks. I was beginning to think it was utter quackery. And then they start taking hold. I tell people, I know I sound like an advertisement, but my energy level is very, very good. I sleep through the night like a baby, which is worth the whole price of admission. My joint pains are gone. I switched from synthetic to natural thyroid medication, and I don't freeze in air-conditioned rooms anymore. It has absolutely changed my life.
All right. Okay, so we're talking to Dr. Leventino on hormone replacement therapy, and you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, to call in if you have any questions about this, and we will be right back. Kelly here. The day of gay marriage, the first show after the gay marriage, kind of interesting, and we're talking off the air a little bit about some of the implications, and I wonder if there'll be any impact on the medical profession with this ruling.
I don't see any immediate impact as far as the medical profession is concerned. Patients are patients.
Any of your friends that announced or expressed any strong feelings on this ruling?
No,
not really. Okay, so hormone replacement therapy, we're talking about that, and let me ask you this, doctor. What are the hard medical benefits, like the undeniable medical benefits of hormone therapy? And by the way, when's your talk tonight? We haven't mentioned that.
There's going to be a lecture about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy with pellets at Mountain View Regional Medical Center at 7 p.m. in the community education room. You go through the main entrance of Mountain View Hospital, make a right turn, and you are there. There's going to be a presentation beginning at 7 o'clock that will discuss this in detail for anyone who has any curiosity about what bioidentical hormone replacement therapy is all about.
Okay. Now, what are some, like, the undeniable benefits of hormone replacement therapy?
Women whose ovaries fail, and that's what really causes menopause, many, not all, but many experience hot flashes, sometimes debilitating. Night sweats, same kind of version, but at nighttime where they literally wake up in sweats. 1 minute they're hot, the next minute they're cold. Vaginal dryness, which makes intercourse difficult or painful or impossible. Loss of bone mass, osteopenia, and ultimately osteoporosis, which is a serious problem, actually for both men and women, but far more for women than for men. Other symptoms include, as I said, a lack of sex drive or libido. Honest to gosh, you know, I mean, I've been in gynecology a long time. You ask most menopausal women about sex drive, and the usual answer I get is, what sex drive? And that becomes a serious problem, not only for them, but for their relationships as well.
Well, isn't that what God wanted?
Many people bring that up, where we talk about what's natural. Well, you know, absolutely. You know, there's an argument that says, but wait a minute, these are natural changes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you want to go to totally natural,
Speaking of polygamy,
I don't know. I don't know what the history of polygamy was. But if you want to go natural, let's go back to cavemen. I mean, a 35-year-old caveman was absolutely positively ancient. Do you want to go back to that? Not me. No thanks.
We've got Viagra. So is this a kind of female Viagra?
No, it is not. You know, I've heard that comment for many years, too. Men have Viagra. Why don't we have something for women? It's a basic misunderstanding of what Viagra does. Viagra is not a desire drug. Viagra is a plumbing drug, basically. There's two totally different things. Hormones impact so many areas of lives, and sex drive is one of them. Viagra is not a sex drive drug. It's a blood flow drug, totally different.
All right. So what would be some of the reactions of the people that you've given or seen go on to a hormone replacement therapy?
You know, it's been interesting. I've been doing this therapy for almost a year now, and I've got to tell you, it's the most fun thing I do in my practice. I've heard it, you know, when you've been in gynecology as long, or medicine, or certainly gynecology as long as I have, you've pretty much heard it all, and we could talk about stories all day long, which we won't. But now I hear different things. Not everybody's doing a dance. Not everybody reacts to hormone optimization the way you might expect. The vast majority do. And it's very interesting. I'll summarize it very simply. In the last week, I heard the same thing, almost exactly the same thing, three times from patients. But when we do pellet therapy, we check hormone levels initially. The pellets are implanted. 6 weeks later in women, 4 weeks later in men, we recheck the hormone levels and see where they're at, and then make adjustments as needed. For women, then, I see them 7 weeks after their initial implantation, and we see how they're doing. And the usual reaction, the typical reaction I get was, and I heard it three times last week, was, hey, I feel great, I'm sleeping better, and my husband personally said to thank you. I never heard that in 35 years of medicine, never.
All right. So what percentage of people do you think could benefit from hormone replacement therapy?
In my experience, 85% of patients have a very positive reaction to hormone correction.
That's not the question.
What's the question? The
question is, what percentage of the population could use it from a benefit, you know, angle? You're saying anybody under 20 or 25, 30 probably wouldn't be in the ballpark.
Actually, they can be. There are cases of that where teenagers have very low testosterone levels, but that's unusual.
We have a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. It's Karen. I have a question for the doctor, and then I'll listen off air. Who shouldn't take these bio, whatever type of hormones they are? Say women or men with a strong family history of cervical or breast cancer. Is this contraindicated?
I am so glad you asked. That is the big difference between bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and synthetic hormone therapy. You know, if you have a strong history of breast cancer, you might think twice about synthetic hormone therapy, or if you've had blood clots. The difference is bioidentical hormone replacement therapy does not cause blood clots. Bioidentical hormone therapy doesn't cause heart disease. Bioidentical hormone replacement therapy lowers your risk of breast cancer and heart disease. So it's the great thing about this is that if somebody has had one of these conditions, they may be banned or have been prevented from using synthetic hormone therapy and have to basically live with their symptoms. They don't have to with bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. Real quick case in point. I had a young lady who lost her ovaries at age 32 to endometriosis. There was nothing we could do about that. For the next 3 years, she lived in full-blown menopause. But she'd also had a blood clot 6 years before. She'd had a blood clot during the delivery. So she couldn't use synthetic hormone therapy. She put up with that for 3 years. She was the first person I called back, called when I came back from my course and said, you can use this. This is therapy you can use. It's safe. And I'll never forget, she was my first patient that I had done this for who'd had that kind of complication. 7 weeks later, she showed up in my office. She was sitting in the chair crying because she said, I haven't felt this good in years. Thank you so much. So bioidentical hormone replacement therapy has virtually no contraindications.
Karen's gone, but well, let me ask you this, Doc. Does it make women easier to live with?
Oh boy.
Tough question.
No, it's
well, you're saying that they're
easier to live with. Okay. One of the symptoms of hormone deficiency is tension, irritability, depression. From that standpoint, yes. But I'm laughing because it makes men easier to live with too.
It makes everybody easier to live with. So why don't we just mix it in with our feed?
You can't swallow bioidentical hormones.
All right. Okay. Folks, talking to Dr. Leventino about hormone replacement therapy. It is tonight at Memorial in the
Mountain View.
Pardon me.
At 7 p.m.
For those who don't know, where is Mountain View located?
Mountain View is located at 4311 East Loman, right across from Caliche's. Everybody knows where Caliche's is.
Okay, and how about a phone number if people want more information?
For more information or to reserve a spot at the lecture, although you don't really need to reserve a spot, 522-9087.
All right, and folks, we're going to be right back and find out more about this hormone replacement therapy. And 726, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450B, right back. It is Kelly, of course, and have Dr. Leventino here. And one more time, Doctor, the phone number for your the hormone therapy, I guess it's your office number, but
522-9082, 522-9082.
Okay, and so that's tonight. And everybody who is over a certain age could benefit from hormone replacement therapy.
I think that's true. They certainly could benefit.
So basically, at least half the population of Mesilla Valley could.
Oh, I don't know. We have a pretty young population here, but
aren't there a lot of retirees here?
There are a lot of retirees in Las Cruces.
All right, we've got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Linda.
Hi, Linda. Good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
I just had a question for the doctor. What age is too old? I mean, as far as, like, I'm 71. Is that too old to even consider it?
Ma'am, you're not even in the ballpark. My oldest patient so far has been 86. Dr. Comedina from Albuquerque, who got me introduced to this, his oldest patient is 94. There is no age limit. Hormone replacement can be beneficial for any age.
Okay, yeah, because I have several of those symptoms you were talking about. So, yeah, okay, well, that's good to know.
Come by tonight. We'll talk some more about it.
Yeah, I think I might. Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. All right, folks. So, doctor, I don't want to get too deep into this stuff because I know you're going to do this speech tonight. So, One more time, it is at
Mountain View Hospital, 7 p.m., in the community education room, which is on the first floor just inside the entrance.
And we'll get to you. Can we get you back again on another interesting medical topic?
Absolutely.
Great to see you, doctor. All right, folks. Dr. Leventino, friend of mine, and has been on the show before on different things, and he asked if he could come on and just mention to people the hormone replacement therapy. I think there's probably half the people in this town that could use this type of therapy from what I've seen. All right, so I'm going to just dive back into this issue of the gay marriage, only because it's so shocking. We didn't really have that many phone calls, and I had a text from a friend who lives in Florida who asked me, what is people's reaction? And we barely got any calls. I think people are in shock. I think people in the right, people who are part of the conservative movement, and speaking of older people and maybe who could use some hormone therapy, people at the Tea Party meetings, I think there's a generational, would you give a discount to Tea Party members, doctor?
No.
Oh, come on. Come on. Well, let's speaking of love. All right. So there's a generational gap between the Tea Party and the rest of the or the older generation who tend to be more conservative. And why are the older generations more conservative? Number one, because that was the way the world was when they were growing up. But number two, the experience of life teaches them to be conservative, that radicalism is oftentimes contradictory. We've got another call here, but there is a reason that older people are, it's not just genetic. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Jim. How are you today?
Good morning, Jim. I'm here, and I'm doing fine. I'm a little bit taken aback by the ruling, but how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, and I'm taken back by it, Kelly, but I don't think I'm any surprised. I think we could see this coming years ago when the left and the extreme liberal, they did not believe in the Holy Scripture, the Bible, what God says, chipped away at our freedoms to be able to do what we do normally. And that's why we've seen nativity scenes disappear, Ten Commandments removed. You got to watch what you say. You can't wear certain types of jewelry because you offend these
Jim,
people.
Jim, I can barely hear you. The connection is bad, and you're speaking pretty fast. You're saying that you could see this coming down a long way down the road. So were people in denial, do you think, of what the culture was like before the vote?
Well, I'm not so much. Is that better, Kelly? Can you hear me better?
Just a little bit better. Just slow down just a little bit. I know you're excited on this, but.
Yes. What I was trying to say, Kelly, is that I think I saw this coming down years ago when we saw the chipping away of the moral fabric of the scripture in the Bible by doing away with, nativity scenes, wearing jewelry, watch what you say, to the point now to where, pretty much God's out of society. Well, now, my thinking is this.
Go ahead.
My thinking is this, Kelly, that when you do that, now you have removed the principles of right and wrong. And once you remove the principle of right and wrong in the sight of God's eyes, now you do what we do in the Supreme Court, now by their decision, at least to my thinking, is giving way to the small minority that caused the ruckus, whereas the majority of the people now will be persecuted because of that decision. And I think it's a deterioration of the influence. Now, you asked about the Tea Party. The Tea Party difference between them and maybe society is that they still hold on to these beliefs that God created things, that God's law runs. And that's where I see the problem.
All right, let me ask you this. So let me turn it around. How fair is it to change the rules of marriage and sex, dating, and allow homosexuals to live openly with whoever they want, have marriages in some places, whatever the rules are? How fair is it to give them a taste of freedom and then, deny them marriage? I mean, we've acted for decades. We've conducted our business as if homosexuality is acceptable. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, But we've acted for a long time that homosexuality is acceptable within our pluralistic society. So isn't it only fair to take the next step? What do you think of that?
Well, you know, Kelly, I have friends that I have had in my relations with that are involved in guys, but they're friends. I have nothing against them. We laugh. We have fun together. And we do not, I've never, ever said a word to them about the differences between them and myself. What I have done is live my life, I think, in accordance with what God would want me to do. And because of that, I think the society then has been hypocritical when they come out and say that they're a Christian society, yet turn this on those individuals. And I agree with Franklin Graham. God does love these people. He does. But he hates what they do. And I think that's the difference between love and acceptance.
One of the things, though, that's not mentioned often by, you know, pastors who are talking about this, there is not a, you know, homosexuality is certainly referred to as an abomination, but there is no special level that homosexuality is given in the Bible. It is treated along the same lines as, you know, gluttony and other sins. And I wonder if the church hasn't made a mistake by giving it a kind of a special status as a sin.
I agree with you 100%, because when we read and if we accept the Bible, which, you know, those on the left in the society that want the homosexuality, they do not recognize that. But you are right. If we go to the Bible and read the verses, nowhere is it made lying any worse than, you hate to say this, but homosexuality or murder. Because to God's eyes, they're all sins, and they all are forgivable. And they all hold a consequence. And I know that people have such a difficult time saying, how can, you know, lying to someone, I mean, deliberately lying to get a falsehood impression, be anywhere near murder or homosexuality? Because God doesn't care what the sin is. It's to him, it's a sin. And if you love him and ask for his forgiveness, he will delete that from your record.
Well, that's a good point. And do you predict that this law is going to be overturned?
No, I don't see that coming up, but what I do see, Kelly, is there's a point to where when, and you highlighted that this morning, I don't think it came out enough, but what you said was really quite brilliant, and that is when man's law supersedes God's law, is what Franklin Graham is basically saying, then you have to go to the higher authority. You cannot redefine something that you didn't define.
Yeah, that's a good point. And, well, it is like Moses going back up the mountain with his version of the Ten Commandments. Thanks for the call, Jim. Have a good day. All right, folks, let's take a little break. And I've got a few more thoughts on this. And we got one more call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly Akana Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. Takashi here.
Takashi, can I put you on hold and go to break and come back?
Certainly.
Thank you. All right, that's the spirit. When I ask you to cooperate, go along with it. What the heck? All right. So 7:40. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell. 523-1450. Call in, especially if you're defending the law. I'd like to hear your reasoning why. We'll be right back. Seven 7:43, and we have Takashi. And thanks for your patience, Takashi. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Kelly. I'm not exactly a Bible scholar or anything, but I kind of beg to differ with the Bible, not comparing lies and homosexuality. I believe somewhere in Deuteronomy it talks specifically about homosexuality.
Yeah.
And I believe God himself destroyed a whole city because of that being rampant in that city. And I just want to say, even in the city of Lot, he destroyed too. So I think America is pretty much on that path where, you know, we have tried to redefine the word marriage.
Uh-huh.
And the whole sanctity and covenant between man, woman, and child has been ripped apart, man.
So you think that America is going to be reaping judgment because of this decision?
Well, I'm not, like I said, I'm not exactly a prophet or anything, but if these scriptures hold truth and the gospel holds any truth, you know, and the word of God is any truth, then definitely something coming, brother.
Well, let me ask you this. From a practical, a common sense, or a any other angle, what would you say is the problem with gay marriage?
Well, I don't have a problem with gays. Let me just announce that for the audience. But let me also say it tends to take away that freedom from the kids, you know, that freedom of choice, freedom of growth, you know, that normalcy of being raised as regular kids.
Uh-huh.
It distorts childhood, you know. And I don't think right now it might seem okay, but in the future, I think the benefits we're going to reap from that are going to be very detrimental.
Uh-huh. All right.
You know, because just imagine, Kelly, having dinner in a restaurant, and next to you, here goes a married gay couple, and your son's probably, what, 4, 3 and a half, maybe going towards 5. Puts you in a very uncomfortable place trying to explain why are those two daddies kissing, or whatever the situation may be. I mean, it's okay that you do it, keep it to yourself, civil unions, whatever, but this whole agenda and everybody needs to jump on our train. I mean, nobody's lynching you guys. Nobody's trying to stop you from getting jobs, or you know what I'm saying?
You,
I mean, it's personal sexuality. That's what it boils down to me.
Tekashi, so you don't accept the analogy that gay marriage is today what racism was in the past?
No. There's
Why
no
not?
Comparison.
Why not?
There's no comparison. Let me put it like this, Kelly. You don't like pedophiles, do you? Well, we're not out there trying to lynch them. Or some people don't like fat people. You're not out there trying to lynch every fat person, are you? So it's the same thing. Like, you don't have to like everybody, but don't force your issue on the planet, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's indoctrination.
I gotcha. Okay, Tekashi, thanks for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks. My reaction to that. We got another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Ralph Kelly.
Hey, Ralph. Hey,
the good thing about this same-sex marriage is now you'll know exactly where the aid is going to be centralized. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. All right. Good news about gay marriage, according to Ralph, is you'll now know where AIDS is centralized. Well, here's an argument. Once gays get married, they're not going to be promiscuous. That's the men, of course. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Kelly, do you think, you know, these churches that are 501(c)s?
Yeah.
Tax exempt?
Yep.
If they don't marry a gay couple, will they get that taken away from them?
Possible.
Do you think that's right?
Well, you can have an argument whether churches should be tax exempt to begin with. If a church is tax exempt, which almost all of them are, doesn't that put them under the thumb of the government to begin with?
Yeah, but I mean, why do they have to be penalized for not marrying a gay couple?
Well, it's in the nature of things that the people. All right, what percentage of Americans are gay? About 3.5%. Now, the New York Times said in 1990 it was about 2%. So there's been a little growth. It's been a little bit of growth, but you know, it's a small percentage of people. So it had to be advocates who pushed forward, because the natural percentage of the population wasn't that big to demand it. It had to be mostly non-gay advocates who are asking for homosexuality to be enfranchised as marriage. Therefore, it's a group of advocates by definition. Therefore, advocates use the law. They're going to use the law to go after people who don't support it.
Okay, how about this argument? You know how it's not legal to carry a concealed weapon from state to state? Certain states don't accept,
okay,
and other states.
All right.
Concealed. Why don't they make it legal for concealed carriers to move from state to state with their weapon?
What's the analogy?
Well, gay marriage is legal in all states. Why not concealed carry?
Well, I mean, that's a different argument. Anyway, thanks for the call, Mike. All right, folks, got to take a little break here. I think people are trying to wrap around their head the idea that they have to accept something that they're totally opposed to. But there's other laws that people are totally opposed to. But this might be the king of all the, you know, the laws that people who are Christians or conservatives dislike. Anyway, trying to think of, you know, some of the positive aspects of gay marriage. Give me a moment. And 749, this is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. Be right back. And we'll just kind of conclude. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Kathy. Do you have your text machine on?
What's that?
Do you have your text machine with you today?
No, I don't. Why don't you stay on the line and people...
Not a freaking chance.
Kath,
not a damn chance. No
Kath,
way. Anyhow,
Kath,
read my text.
Kath,
I've
I don't
kind
have
of
my
been listening
with,
to you.
Kath,
talk
Kath,
to you. No,
Kathy,
no, what, no way.
Just tell me it. I don't have the text. Just tell me what you want me to say for you.
I don't know. Just read the text.
I don't have the machine.
I can't repeat everything. We probably can't say some of those words. Anyhow.
But you're
okay.
Happy.
Talk, I'm listening.
You're
to
happy.
The show.
You're happy, right?
Thanks. Huh?
You're happy.
Extremely.
Are you happy with the ruling?
Extremely.
Oh, okay. I'll tell people you're extremely
really?
Happy. I don't see what that's so controversial.
Well, you got a bunch of Bible thumpers out there. That's all that listens to this show anyhow. Oh, I mean,
Kathy,
geez, it might as well
now.
Be a revival.
Kathy,
read my text there. If not on the air, then for you personally. That's right. Why I write most of them anyhow.
Right.
Anyhow, still listening. Talk to you later, Kelly. Yeah. Bye.
Have a good day. All right. So I just got a call from Kathy. And Kathy pointed out that... Kathy pointed out that she is very extremely happy with ruling. She didn't want to come on the air and get attacked for that. But and she says that all the only people that listen to the show are Bible thumpers, which I don't think is really accurate. But if so, so be it. But I'm trying to make a show that has attraction for people who are Bible thumpers and people who are anti-Bible thumpers, trying to explain things from both angles. Now we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
John.
John, good morning to you. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
There was a guy at a party we were having down here, and he was making the churches start paying the $200 deal, and I wish you'd get that on the radio tomorrow, and your friend Beverly knows all about it. She was the one that was attacked.
All right, well, I'll have to, it sounds a little cryptic, I'll have to have call up Beverly and see what's going on. What were they paying?
Yeah, do that.
What were they paying?
Do that.
John, can you hear me? What were they paying $200 for?
For they had to pay that every year to sell food in the church.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting. All right, John, thanks a lot. Have a good day. All right, folks. What if I told you that the rate of divorce in gay marriage is much higher, much, much higher? Have another call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Chris, and I am not a Bible thumper. But I just wanted to give a quick call. I'm thinking about taking on an extra wife.
I can barely hear you. Could you talk a little louder?
Sure. Yeah, I'm thinking about like taking on an extra wife.
Oh, okay.
Maybe two or three. You know, then, you know, I think they're gonna take that up to the Supreme Court. You know, allow me to do that. So.
All right. Oh, congratulations.
But I like the points that he had made about like that man's laws superseding God's laws. But the thing is, like, you know, what kind of doors is this going to be opening? And you know, we already have we heard, you know, one person who was wanting to marry their dog.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, you know, Mike was touching on that, you know, that the progressive movement is going to start on the churches. that, you know, there's going to be lawsuits if you're not, that you, you know, they're going to sue them for being not accepting of, like, gay marriage.
It's inevitable that churches and pastors will get sued. The question is what the court will do with it.
Correct, yes. And but that was the only point that I had.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot for the call. Have a good day. All right, folks, so opening doors to polygamy and stuff like that. So if I told you that gay marriage, okay, regular marriage is 45% divorce rate. Gay male marriage, 55% bigger than that, so whatever number that is. And then female gay marriage, the divorce rate is 167% higher. Gay female marriage is 200% higher than gay male marriage. Gay male marriage is 55% higher than regular marriage divorce, which is 45%. So it took me a while to find the figures, but they came out of a study in Scandinavia, Norway, Sweden, one of these places. And it's out of an academic paper. So, if I told you that, if you're at all sympathetic to gay marriage, you're going to tell me the reason is because of the same reason that we're always told that these type of things happen. It's because the society doesn't support them. It is the cost of bias or prejudice or whatever. Of course, it is totally possible that it's been caused by something else, but we're going to find out the hard way if there's any difference between gay marriage and straight marriage. But in the meantime, is there an argument? Kathy says the only people that listen to the show are Bible thumpers. Now, the fact that she's not a Bible thumper is kind of disproves her point. But anyway, is there a logical, principled, non-religious argument against gay marriage? I got my buddy Judah coming on tomorrow, 6 to 7. We were going to talk about the history of revivals in America and how that influenced the political process. That is Blog Talk Radio, which you can go to.